Now, you might be having some trouble getting your head around this, but you shouldn't. If you know anything about me or the show, welcome back. What's up? What's cracking? Welcome to Hour 2. You might be having some trouble getting your head around this, but if you know anything about me and the show, you shouldn't. We did just spend the better part of Hour 1 talking hockey. We start the top of Hour 2 by talking more hockey. Maybe you don't get that. But if you know me and you know this show, you should. I love the NHL. And I love the NHL this time of year. And I'll tell you what else. I love this dude. This dude's great. We start Hour 2. Telephone number is toll free. I've got that beef segment. I know a lot of you want that because a lot of you have beef, no matter what's going on. The beef segment's top of Hour 3. If you want to start setting it up, hit me right now. 1-800-636-8686. We are joined right now, though, first and foremost, by somebody who is a host for the NHL Network. In fact, for every game, NHL Network is airing live pre- and post-game coverage on NHL Now and NHL Tonight. And you can watch my guest, Tony, on the post game following tonight's game 4 between the Knights and the Stars, a potential elimination game. Of course, I'm talking about somebody who famously served as well as the UCLA basketball team manager back in the day. Tony Loughman is my guest. Dude, it has been a minute. Tony, what's going on? How you living?
I am so thrilled to be on with you. The love is mutual. You Hall of Famer. I brag about you all the time, and I'm constantly telling stories. I'm ecstatic to be with you.
My man, this is why you're the best. You have never changed. You have come up. You are dominating. You're at the top of your profession, and you are the same guy you have always been. I always, always respect that about you, Tony. It's great to have you back. The energy is the same. All right, so let me ask you about the Panthers. They were at the bottom of the division for much of the regular season. Now they're in the Stanley Cup final. Question is, how the hell did they get here?
I think two words sum it up. Matthew Tkachuk. He's the brave heart of his era, minus the face paint. He's John Rambo. Nothing is over. Richard Crenna, highly underrated in that film. The bottom line is, they're not a Cinderella. Their regular season was not anything like you'd expect it to be. But he's had three game-winning goals in the Eastern Conference Final. He was a Hart finalist during what was a turbulent year. But to put in perspective what he's done and what they've done in the playoffs, they were down to Boston 3-1. Best regular season anyone's ever seen, and they finished 43 points behind Boston. Then they come back, win 3 straight. Then they win 4 or 5 against Toronto. Then they sweep Carolina. First time in franchise history they've ever done that. So they're 11-1 in their last 12 playoff games. This team is for real. The kitty cats are fierce, Rome.
Tony Loughman joining us. Tony, I was talking about him in the open, and I cited many of the similar stats that you just did. And he is a polarizing guy now, Chucky. You love him or you hate him. I love the guy so much. I love him. I love his dad. I love that family. What has he meant to the team since coming over from Calgary? And is he a different player now than he was then? Or is this who he's always been?
It's a great question. And he means everything to that team. What they say, and I love when we cover the draft. It's a huge moment in the young lives of these players. And for many of them, unfortunately, that's as far as it goes. But with Matthew Tkachuk, you knew, and you mentioned his dad, you can't run away from the DNA. We always talk about guys that drag others into the fight, and to draw the parallel to basketball, which I know there are more mainstream basketball fans than hockey fans. He's got that Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan quality where he makes the guys around him better. And not just better, but tougher, more fierce, more competitive, more willing to agitate. I loved your question about, has he always been this way? I think the answer is yes. I go back to watching him in the World Juniors help Team USA win bronze, and he's always had this swag about him. Before we even started using the word swag, Tkachuk Cheese had it, and he is just spectacular to watch. This is the brightest lights. These are the biggest stages that these players can be on, and he's flourishing. And it's not a surprise because he's wired that way.
Tony Loughman joining us, not to be the old head, but his dad was the same way. His dad was always the toughest guy on the ice, but also not just tough, tough with tremendous skill, great in the room, great leader, lead from the front. Hey, when it's all said and done, do you think that the kid might ultimately be better than the old man?
I do, and I would say that with all due respect to the man they call Big Walt. Keith Tkachuk was the first American to lead the NHL in goal scoring. You know that, and you're well-versed on the history of the league. What's different about Matthew is that he is leading a team. He's a Hart Trophy finalist, and to put in perspective how many Americans have won that, it's two. The league has been around over 100 years, and Connor McDavid's going to win it this year, and he deserves to win it by a mile. He's like Usain Bolt. He's in his own stratosphere. But for Matthew, an American-born player, to have the kind of – I mean, they beat Toronto in round two. Toronto's like the New York Yankees of the NHL. They have every resource. They have every possible advantage you could have, and they beat them 4-1. They finished 19 points behind Toronto during the regular season. They are not that team. They're not the team that struggled mightily and had to go 6-1-1 in their last eight. They're the best team in hockey right now, and I defy anybody to disagree with that. I don't think you can look at what they've done and think any other team is as hot or as good as they are right now.
Tony Loughman joining us. There's always that question, right? When you get to this time of year, who is the team to beat? The best team or the hottest team? And if they're both those things, they're going to be awfully tough to beat. What about Vegas? Go to the other side. Vegas is looking to join Florida in the final by finishing off the Stars tonight. Dallas, Tony, is not going to have captain Jamie Benn, who was hit with that 2-game suspension for cross-checking Mark Stone in Game 3. What do you make of that particular play? And in your opinion, does that punishment fit that crime?
The punishment fits the crime. I always salute the Department of Player Safety. They do a really good job of protecting the integrity of the game and the players. And Jamie Benn said it himself, that emotions run high. He's a really good captain that had a really bad moment. And unfortunately, there's never been in this round of the Stanley Cup playoffs a team that's come from down 3-0. It's 46-0. I don't think Dallas has what it takes to pull off the reverse sweep. But what I do want to make sure that I make mention of is celebrating what this would mean for Vegas. This is season 6. This would be the second time they reached the Stanley Cup final in the first 6 seasons. I can make radios turn off in Tampa by mentioning that the Buccaneers lost their first 26 games in the NHL, in the NFL. In the NHL, what the Vegas Golden Knights have done is extraordinary. They're an expansion team. They've gone to the Stanley Cup playoffs 5 out of 6 years. Their owner, Bill Foley, said they'd win a cup in their first 6 years, and here they are. To put it in perspective, Rome, you have to look at the Edmonton Oilers. They went to the finals 3 of their first 6 years of existence, but they had Gretzky and Messier and Hall of Famers. What Vegas is doing is extraordinary, just truly sensational.
Well, I can't get enough of it. They're one of my favorite topics. In fact, I said it, Tony, on the show yesterday. They're one of the most intriguing, fascinating franchises in any sport to me. In fact, I spoke to their GM, Kelly McCrimmon, yesterday. We talked about a number of things, Tony. We talked about Jack Eichel, and I said that nobody ever doubted his talent. He was the number 2 pick overall. We all know this, but there were questions about his health, maybe even how he might fit in with Vegas. There aren't any questions anymore about this dude. How has he looked to you since arriving in Vegas, and what has he meant to that team and franchise?
So huge. You're on it. You're always on it, and that's why you're a Hall of Famer. But let's not digress. Jack Eichel is...
Oh, no, we can digress. We can talk more about me. Go ahead and digress. Just kidding. Go ahead, dude.
Jack Eichel is a formidable talent, and I think he got caught up in a situation that a lot of players get caught up in. You mentioned my history as a UCLA basketball manager. One thing I think about all the time is fit. If Ed O'Bannon, the Toronto Raptors, were chanting, "We want Ed, we want Ed," at 6, Isaiah Thomas picked Damon Stoudemire, and he had a hell of a rookie year. Ed got picked 9th by the New Jersey Nets. Jack went 2nd, as you mentioned, but he went to a Buffalo Sabres team that right now is in the midst of the longest postseason drought that they've ever had, that any team in the NHL or any of the 4 major leagues is having. But the Pegulas are doing everything to get that thing pointed back in the right direction, and they're going to be back in the playoffs soon. Jack was a key player there. He was the franchise guy. Since getting to Vegas, he gets to be a part of the solution. He's not expected to do everything, although in this spring he has done everything. I'm amazed by the way he skates because he's pretty much upright. I call him 6 o'clock because on an analog watch, that's what he looks like. But he goes so fast because the other guys are skating as hard as they can. He's a really special talent, American-born kid, and very easy to root for. I'm happy for him because this is his first playoffs. And as you mentioned, the 2015 draft, that's a long way back. And there's no shame in going 2nd to Connor McDavid. That guy's special to a degree that there's only probably a handful of guys you'd mention in the same breath by the time 97's career is over.
Tony Loughman joining us. The big head and I always talk about fit. Like for every sport, every team, fit is so important. You can't pick where you're drafted. Fit is everything. So barring a historic comeback by the Stars, we're going to get Florida and Vegas in the Stanley Cup Final. Styles do make fights. How do you see that potential matchup? Who would you take if it plays out like that?
I would take, because of what we discussed earlier, these Florida Panthers, because of what you said, not just the team that's playing the best at the end of the year, but the hottest. And so their level of confidence, when the Prince of Wales trophy is presented, some teams are superstitious and they won't touch it, and the captain goes over to receive it. Their whole team skated over, and it wasn't surprising. Everybody was touching, and it wasn't surprising. The trophy is just another notch in their belt. They are, to take nothing away from Vegas, because I think they're a tremendous team, but they don't have what this Florida Panthers team has right now. It's that it quality. It's that special sort of, if we remember back to that incredible Patriots team that went undefeated and then lost in the Super Bowl to the Giants didn't have to do anything after that. They won that game and they go off into history, and it's amazing for Coughlin and all of them, Michael Strahan. This team pulled off an historic upset in the first round, and since then they've lost once. So they stay hungry. They stay focused. I just can't see in a best-of-seven series them losing, even though they won't have home ice advantage. I'm all in on the Kitty Cats. They're not just, I think, this year's best team. They're one of the best teams I've seen in recent memory.
Tony Loughman joining us. Tony, one last thought. We always talk about you famously being the team manager of the UCLA basketball team, and not for any irony. I know you love that time. I know that you might even argue that you may not be where you are without that time. When you mentioned Ed O'Bannon the way you did earlier in this conversation, is it because it was in the context of what we were talking about, or might that have been your favorite Bruin?
He is my favorite Bruin of my lifetime. Jackie Robinson, obviously, of all time, but I think about Ed all the time. If you see the movie Air, he's mentioned in it at the end. And what he's done for college athletes going forward is truly the stuff of pioneering. And Kurt Flood didn't get the love he deserved at his time, and Ed has not gotten the love. He should be an assistant coach at O'Bannon in college basketball or a head coach, but he's been marginalized. And I think that's a real shame. He is a brother to me, and I love him with all my heart. And I really think that if he'd gotten a different fit, things could have come out entirely differently. Or if he doesn't blow out his knee, then he's in Grant Hill's class. You know, when they played the McDonald's All-American game, it was back and forth between those two guys. He would have been a heck of a running rebel, and he would have made tens of millions of dollars. Bottom line, I love me some Ed O'Bannon.
Yeah, you saw it up close, and I remember very distinctly when Ed was in college, he was an incredible, incredible college player, an incredible leader, and he wanted to be that guy. And he carried himself with class and dignity. I mean, he was the guy. Leave me with this thought. I mean, he might be your guy. Who else really resonated with you? Who were some of your favorite guys from that time?
Tim Duncan. At the time, I was a USA basketball manager, and it was my chance to represent our country. I was so proud. And he was going into his senior year, and we played the 96 Olympic team, and that was called Dream Team 3. They had Shaq, they had Hakeem Olajuwon, and they had David Robinson. So they had 3 7-footers that are all among the best ever play in the NBA. Duncan was never intimidated. He's the best at movie quotes of any athlete I've ever been around, and he's just a really down-to-earth, likable guy who worked really hard on his game. So I wasn't surprised that he had the success he had, but I wish more people knew, because the one thing you hear again and again about him is that, you know, Mr. Fundamental and this and that, he just doesn't show it. But the guy's got an amazing personality, and he's a great teammate to go along with all the prowess as a basketball player.
It's really true. You would never know that about him based on what you see publicly, but those inside and those who spend time with him would say that like you just did. I want to remind you, for every game, NHL Network is airing live pre- and post-game coverage on NHL Now and NHL Tonight. You can watch Tony Loughman on the post-game show following tonight's Game 4 between the Knights and the Stars. Tony, great to run you down. I do love you, man. Great to have you back. Good job.
The love is so mutual. I'm so proud of everything you've done, and I'm honored to be a part of your broadcasting tree.
You too, dude. Mutual respect. You've done an amazing job, Tony. I'm really proud of you. Tony Loughman joining us. Tony Tony came on The Daily Show and JRIB back in the day when he was just starting and came in like a pro with that same energy, that same enthusiasm. It's one thing to have that when you're coming up, but to make it, to get a national platform, to get that opportunity, make the most of it, and still be that guy. I'm not saying he hasn't changed. We all change. We all evolve. But to have that same mindset, that same enthusiasm, that same gratitude, that same appreciation, to still be a hell of a good guy is awesome. One of my favorite dudes. And it means a lot to me that he just said, I'm proud to be a part of the Rome tree. What a good dude. And I'm really proud of him. All right, so the beef segment is at the top of hour number three. Start setting that up. I tried to get to something yesterday involving Dwight Howard. I may still get to that today. I definitely will get to a smack-off player profile. I'm not saying who it is. Benny and Wisco started things off yesterday, and we have another one today. We're going to try and get one in every single day if we can between now and then. And again, I want to be so clear about this. The field is not set. Somebody could shock the world. There's got to be somebody listening right now that's been listening for a long time that maybe just thinks they've had better things to do, but knows that they could do it. So, do it. What an amazing story that would be if somebody came out of nowhere to get into the field and maybe hit the board. Or what if somebody came out of nowhere 29 years in and just showed up? That it would be the most miraculous thing ever. What if somebody we don't know came out of nowhere, showed up, got into the tournament, got hot, and won it? It could be the best jungle story ever. But you have to call or tweet or email and shoot your shot. So do it. That was Tony Loughman. What's your beef at the top of the hour? Drake London, wide receiver for the Falcons, coming up at 11:40. After the show today, the Jim Rome podcast with former NFLer Gerald McCoy. He is retired, but he's pushing content. He's doing a good job. Always loved him as a player and talking to him. So that's episode 268. Tomorrow, the Reinvention Project. Eric Musselman, my guy, E-Mus. For all the interviews I've ever done with him, we've never done the reinvention aspect of his life. And he's had one of the most incredible career arcs I've ever seen of anybody in any sport. E-Mus. Tomorrow on the Reinvention Project with Jim Rome. So we're busy now. Stay tuned. We'll come right back. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So what I'm looking for right now is a sense of urgency and some energy. A sense of urgency and some energy for the beef segment. Because that's coming up at the top of the hour. Normally it takes about a half hour or more to set that up completely. So start dialing. Now is the time to get through. 1-800-636-8686. Now is the time to hit me up on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Now is the time to email me a beef. Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Top of the hour, 37 minutes from right now. I'm looking for a sense of urgency. I'm looking for energy. I'm looking for a kick-ass beef segment. In the meantime, while you're doing that, let me do this. We started with the player profiles for the smack-off yesterday. My dude, Benny in Wisco, kicked things off. We did a good job for him. Made him look good. Of course, he's easy for us to make look good. He's good at what he does. Then my dude immediately called up and he RSVP'd for the event right afterwards, which is great. Just because I do the profile does not mean that you're going to be a part of it. Doesn't mean you'll take part. I loved it. So he didn't just RSVP, which was great. He wound up RSVPing as another smack-off contestant. This is why Benny is clever. Benny called up to RSVP, but he called up to RSVP as one James in Portland.
Jimmy, my man. Hey, did you know that Alvy likes wrestling? You should start calling him Kurt Angle on account of Kurt Angle winning a gold medal in wrestling, as well as all the angles Alvy takes in the bedroom when he's wrestling with his wife. It comes out!
So good. Really funny. Very, very funny. So it got me thinking, why don't we just roll straight into James as our next player profile? So that's exactly what we're going to do right now. James in Portland gets his first ever Smack Off player profile. Now, James is actually some of the newest blood in the jungle. It doesn't seem like it because the guy's come so hard, so often. It seems like, it feels like he's been around much longer than he actually has. But in fact, last year was the first and only time he's ever made it to the air on the big day. Typically, dudes with only one Smack Off appearance do not get Smack Off player profiles, even if they do top 10 it in their one appearance. And James did last year. He finished 8th. Pretty damn impressive for a debut. But typically, the player profiles are reserved for dudes with years and years of playoff or Smack Off experience, maybe even decades. So it's a little bit unusual that this guy is getting this treatment. But then again, this guy is a little unusual. In fact, he's a lot unusual. It should tell you all you need to know about the impact that he's made on the program in a very short period of time. And I've got to be honest. I mean, clearly, I like this guy. I don't know why I like this guy. I can't quite put my finger on why I like this guy. But he cracks me up every single time he calls. And he has since his very first calls. And I'm not really sure what I like about it. I mean, the brand is something else, right? Those first calls were the calls where James established his now infamous obsessive fixation with Alvin's sexual proclivities.
Speaking of under beds, Jim, let's talk about what was under Alvin's bed in high school. You know, he wasn't a Playboy guy. You know, Alvin, you were a penthouse guy. You were a hustler, man. And by the way, think of the socks underneath his bed. They were literally alive. Alvy, you impregnated a sock to the point where it got up, looked at you, said, thank you for my life, and ran out your door like a lemming.
Insanity. If there ever was a dude with a brand, it is James in Portland and Alvin's sex life. The thing about James is he understands comedic timing. He understands how to let an opportunity present itself and then how to take advantage of that opportunity. Case in point, the time he managed to basically hijack the show for 2 full days last March with one single phone call, a phone call that lasted all of 14 seconds.
Alvy, I love when Jim mentioned today that some dude injected blow in his penis. You said, dude. I got to try that, man. Alvy, it's called booger sugar, not shaft sugar. And Jim...
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
So tell me, is that ever going to get old? And no, I'm not kidding. That particular phone call took over and dominated Clone Reaction for the better part of 2 entire days. It even led to a Shaft Sugar parody from John in Little Rock.
Shaft Sugar, keep me all right. Shaft Sugar, get him on my team. Shaft Sugar, if you know what I mean.
And because James is James, he does get away with more than most people. Only James in Portland can lob a telephone call like this one in February, which should have been run at least 3 separate times.
Jimmy, my man, and Alvy, this NFL season reminded me of you. It just come and gone. Someone needs to explain to me how the Arizona Cardinals can spend $2 million or $2 billion on a stadium, but they can only drop $200,000 on the turf. Maybe go drop $2 million on some Scott's Turf Builder. That turf was slipperier than Alvin DeLauro's bedroom floor on a hump day. wore the NFL rep who threw that flag last night to shove that yellow flag right up his jungle back door. Come on!
Alvin, what planet? What are you doing, Alvin? He should have been run three times. You know it's bad when James drops the buzzer, his own buzzer on himself, because Alvin won't drop the actual buzzer. Like, Alvin, are you just off the side looking at James? What were you doing that day? Anyway, Alvin's like, I was numb. No, you weren't. You were enjoying it, Alvin. There's no doubt that James can hump, ride that line as well as anybody ever has. And there is no doubt that he can get laughs from his fixation and obsession with Alvin's sex life. But the big question is, how much more does he have to give? Does he have another gear? One-trick ponies never win the smack-offs. Don't get me wrong. He absolutely has the talent to contend. He has the talent to hit the board. Maybe his best, his very best, does beat the field's best. Maybe. As new to the game as he is, there's still plenty of room to grow and improve. He's good. But I know that he's got more potential than just jokes about Alvin's libido. Legendary as it may be, legendary as those jokes may be, I just don't know that he wants to show us another aspect of his game. Because I know he loves this aspect of his game.
Jimmy, my man, and Alvy, it's Friday. How much sex are you going to have this weekend? Hey, happy hump day. And I'd say happy hump day to Alvy, but every day is a hump day when you're a sex addict.
Dude, Alvy's pitching a tent.
Alvin's going down, whether it's the yellow or the brown. Dolores coming in. Alvy, you've never once put a sleeping bag around the beaver tray. Alvin Doloro.
This guy is Superman without the cape.
Alvy's never heard the word no.
He only hears yes, yes, yes.
Look, Rogan Loam, if you're listening, Boise State has blue turf on the playing field,
and Arizona State has no turf on the playing field.
While all y'all are hating the dog days of summer, Alvy and I are just enjoying the doggy style days of summer.
War Alvin enjoying oyster shooters this weekend.
Come on!
James in Portland
makes the show better.
This dude's manual buzzer, too, on himself. Absolutely hilarious. I take back what I said when I can't quite put my finger on why I like this guy. Now I can. It's because he's absolutely hilarious. I need that montage to remind me. He will always make me laugh with the Alvy stuff. I hope that he surprises me on the big day in the main event and does level up and go to another level and show me a different gear. I would love to see this guy with a medal around his neck.
Love to see.
I hope he brings something that makes me hand him a strap on the big day. Crazier things have happened. I mean, how a silk won it 1 year. No offense, brah. Crazier things have happened. Anyway, James in Portland. Can't wait to see how you show up on June 30th, my dude. Make sure you're there. Come on. All right, so there it is. Two profiles. Benny in Wisco. He can win it all. James in Portland. I don't know that he can win it all. He'll definitely make it better. And maybe he can win it all. You know, horse racing analogy, maybe he fires that day. Maybe he has his best race. You never know. You never know. Whatever the odds are, maybe he won't know what they are. Like we always say in horse racing, the horse doesn't know he's 20-1. James may know, but I guarantee he does not care. All right. You imagine a guy or a person winning the smack off with an entire topic or brand being Alvin's sex life. Problem is, what could he possibly say that he hasn't already said? That's the challenge. That's why you might want to incorporate something else. But then again, you got to dance with the one that brought you. Anyway, we'll see what happens. James, my man, you got yourself an invite and a profile. Come on!
Come on!
Still ahead, Drake London, last segment of the show. It's a good day. When we come back, hope you like that one. And we'll try and get another one in for you tomorrow. We're trying to get them in every single day. The Smack Off is June 30th. What you need to do, if you know deep down that you're not good enough to be a part of it, you can still be a part of it. Make sure you get that day off. Make sure you have a way to listen to it. Make sure you have a way to watch it. Maybe find a watch party. And social media is a big part of that day because we want your interaction.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So again, you're on the clock. Officially on the clock. Urgently on the clock. The beef segment is next segment. I want to work. I want to kill. Hit me up. 1-800-636-8686. You can beef about anything you want. In the meantime, remember, not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags, so you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? All right, so the beef segment's coming up next. Quickly, you know who nobody needed to hear from yesterday? The part-time player. The part-time player and full-time franchise slayer. The part-time player and full-time conspiracy theorist and flat earther. Nobody wanted to or needed to hear from that dude, but that did not stop Kyrie Irving from jumping on Instagram yesterday to get in everybody's face. To get in everybody's face about how basically everybody needs to get out of his face. And if that doesn't make sense, it's because, well, it doesn't make sense. Like most of the verbal diarrhea that comes tumbling out of this dude's mouth. Huge surprise, everybody. Kyrie Irving is spouting nonsense yet again. Kyrie would like your attention so that he can tell you to stop paying attention to him. I can't deny it. His name has come up quite a bit on social media a lot this week. It has, in the wake of the purple and gold Titanic finally sinking for good. Yesterday, Kyrie took to Instagram to essentially say, keep my name out of your mouths.
Stop mentioning me on Twitters. All y'all fan bases, stop mentioning me right now, please. It is still the Western Conference and Eastern Conference Finals. Denver's going to the finals. You know, we're still waiting for Boston and Miami. Can y'all please leave me the fuck out of this? Please, can I just be with my family in peace? Y'all got people at my dinner table discussing what my free agency plans are. Stop that. Y'all think it's funny, but please stop that. I actually like having peace of mind when I'm at the crib, all right? Like, I see all y'all ads. I see all y'all mentions. Okay, I said it. I see all y'all stuff y'all be saying. I see all y'all fan base. I get it. I'm just as excited as y'all are, but you gotta chill, though.
This dude, I mean, here's a really amazing thought. How about you just put the phone down? How about rather than tell other people what to do, you just log off for a few minutes? How about that? Maybe you don't go live on Instagram if you don't want to deal with people on social media. Crazy idea, I know. His next stunt is probably going to be firing up the IG Live to lecture everybody who actually watches that IG Live for watching that IG Live. Hey, everybody gather around and look at me. The hell are you looking at? Hey, everybody, I'm going to be on IG Live. Gather around and stare at me. The hell are you all looking at? Get the hell out of here. Of course, people were going to talk after he showed up courtside in L.A. for Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals. Oh, yeah, Kyrie, there's that too, right? Why are you all talking about me? Stop bleeping talking about me. Oh, yeah, I don't know, Kyrie, you're at Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals. Of course, people are already talking about him rejoining LeBron this offseason. And do you know why people think that he's about to jump ship on the Mavs? Because that's what this dude does. He leaves. And when he leaves the team, it's always in worse shape than he found it. That's his MO. So, of course, people are expecting it to happen again this offseason. Especially since we're only 3 months removed from LeBron crying to the media about how disappointed he was that the Lakers failed to trade for Kyrie at the deadline. So I think now would be a pretty good time, as any, to remind everybody that LeBron was wrong. LeBron was so wrong 3 months ago, and Rob Lowe Pelinka was right. Kyrie was a terrible idea then, and he's a terrible idea right now for the same reasons. If the Lakers had made that deal for Kyrie, they would not have been deep enough or versatile enough for a playoff run. And they should not be pursuing the part-time player and full-time pain in the ass this offseason either. Especially if it means they have to let Rui Hachimura and Austin Reeves walk. I mean, maybe you thought you would never say this or hear it from me, but letting Reeves walk would be a disaster all on its own. Yeah, I said it. Letting Reeves walk in order to make room for Kyrie is whatever's even more disastrous than an epic disaster. Yes, I actually said that. I mean, it really would be a calamity. It ain't broke. They were rolling. The pieces fit. They were versatile. They were deep. They had some athleticism. Laker honk. Car flag nation. You don't want this. You might think you want this, but trust me, you do not actually want this. It's baggy enough as it is up in there. There's enough insufferable things going on up in there. But even more than that, Kyrie has been a disaster and a losing player and a disruption and a distraction for years now because he's all about him all the time, which is why teams that keep getting involved keep getting burned. Don't do it. Don't do it, LA, or you're going to be the next ones to get scorched by that part-time player and full-time franchise slayer.
Play all day.
This dude is on Instagram lecturing people to stop talking about him on Twitter.
Stop mentioning me on Twitters.
Stop mentioning me on Twitters. Hey, dude, stop looking at your phone.
You gotta chill, though.
Don't you know by now you can't control what they do, quote, on Twitters? You can't control anybody else? So put your phone down.
Stop mentioning me on Twitters.
Stop logging on to Twitters. This dude, at least the world, the flat world, does not revolve around him.
Stop mentioning me right now.
You don't want that, Laker fan. Only LeBron wants that. And when you give LeBron what he wants, what happens? Let Rob Lowe Pelinka do his job, Bron. He's much better at that job than you are. He proved it.
Please leave me the f*** out of this.
Nobody needed to hear that yesterday. This dude lecturing all of us on what we can and can't talk about on social media is so rich. So rich. All right, so once again, your beef segment is coming up next. I want to push this hard. 1-800-636-8686. One of the big questions every single Thursday on the beef segment is, what do we start with? Do we start with the calls or do we start with the written aspects? For the longest time, the written beefs were so much farther ahead of the calls. I thought the callers would never catch up. And then all of a sudden, weird things started happening. The callers got better and better and better. And then we actually had some weeks where we didn't take a single written beef, or I didn't read a single written beef. Nothing but calls. Never really know week to week. But the phones are ringing. That is always a good sign. If you can't get through on the phones, you can always get through on Twitter. I'm not telling you to stay off Twitters. I'm telling you to get on Twitters. Hit me up at Jim Rome
on Twitters.
Or email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at havetake.com. Van Sizzle, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Signed LeBag, Kyrie, and my three-year-old nephew.
Can y'all please leave me the f*** out of this?
Exactly. Exactly. Andy from Denver gets credit for that. Paulie and Indy. Beaks take down a Benny. Thinks that giving Reeves the boot for Kyrie would be a hot mess. Geoff, Romy.
Real quick. Benny, you took... Guess what?
What?
Guess what?
What?
Guess what?
What, Beaks? Wait, what? What? Beaks! Geoff and Lincoln, Romy. I totally believe Kyrie doesn't like being the center of attention. Regards OJ writing that If I Did It book. Chris Strock. Quote, James might not be the odds-on favorite, but he's got the middle-aged dad letting loose sense of humor that makes us cheer for that guy. Hashtag smack off 2023. Liz. OMG, James in Portland's player profile had me on the floor at work crying and laughing. I don't care if he wins. He is a freaking riot. Come on!
Come on! Or Lady Clone.
He is. Man, the dude is funny. All right, the beef segment's coming up next. Hit me with a beef. I don't care what it is. It can be about anything at all. The beef segment straight ahead. You're in the jungle. Do not go anywhere.